got your Bible this morning, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea, forgiveness must come from the heart. Forgiveness must come from the heart. Matthew 18 and verse 21 is where we'll begin. But the scribes and Pharisees are determined that they're going to mess Jesus up on one subject or another. They're trying all sorts of things. They've been successful with some of the disciples, but they have not been able to, so far, break into cause Jesus to say or do something that would cause them to be able to say, aha, we got you. You've said this, and now Scripture says that, vice versa. Oftentimes, as he did that, he used a story to illustrate what he is sharing in the Word, and we call those stories parables, and we know that parables is just an earthly story with a heavenly meaning that God uses to do things with. And here in verse 21 of chapter 18 of Matthew, it says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jewish law that the rabbis used claimed three times was sufficient to ask for forgiveness and to forgive those that have sinned against us. But Jesus here in Peter's question is asked, is seven times enough? Seven being the word meaning completion. Or in other words, whatever it took to make right the wrong with your brother to do so. But Jesus, the scripture says, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. 490 times, whatever it taken, as long as it took to make right that wrong and what's taking place in their hearts and in their lives. And I wonder sometimes if you and I truly understand the importance of going along and getting along, especially with our brothers and sisters in Christ. How we can easily let some little something that doesn't really mount to a hill of beans cause a division that opens a wound that's hard to close. And you get it to close to heal like it ought to. What's our motto? What do many of us say when somebody offends us? I don't get mad. I get even. What is that saying? Whatever it takes, that's what I'm going to do. I'll get even with you one way or another. And the things that are happening. Then he uses this parable here, or this little story, to talk to Peter and all those that are sitting out there listening to it. Verse 23 says, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants." All his servants has been out, and he's provided for them the means to do whatever their business might have been, but he calls in the time now for them to come in and reckon for what he has approved for them to do, whether he let them borrow money, whether he used some of his property or sharecropped or whatever he might have done. But it's time for them to pay up. Verse 24 says that when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. That's over $1 million in today's money that we're dealing with. This individual, I would have to say, would be into his boss man pretty heavy, wouldn't you think? The scripture says, but for as much as he had not to pay, he owed him over $1 million, but he didn't have no money. Now, the scripture doesn't afford to us what he done with that money, whether he's gambled it away or whether he genuinely tried to make a business go and it failed or a crop didn't come in or whatever. But it just says that he didn't have for as much to pay. His Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment be made. He knew he probably wouldn't recover his whole over $1 million. But it was the custom of the day and time of Jesus there that someone owed him a debt, and that debt was called in, that they were sold into slavery, their wife was sold in, their children could be sold into slavery, and all that he had, his possessions, his camels, his mules, his whatever he might have, would be sold and put on the debt. And when they came before the king and the king questioned him as to payment for what he owed him, over $1 million, he confessed he had nothing, and the king ordered all these things done. Look at verse 26. The servant, therefore, fell down and worshiped him and said, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. He begged. He fell on his feet, his knees before the king there, and he cried out to him, and he asked for mercy. And just be patient with me, and I'll pay you every dime I owe you. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and he loosed him and forgave him the debt. He went above and beyond what the man asked for. He just asked for patience, and he would do what? Pay him. But the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. He'd never seen such sincerity in a man before, that the scripture says he told the guards, cut him loose, and he forgave him the debt. Over $1 million. He was willing to just wipe it off, clear the books. All right, let's see if he appreciated it or not. The scripture says here, verse 28, but the same servant went out, and he found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And that's just under $100. The scripture says he found one who owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. This same servant here, who had just been forgiven by the king for $1 million debt or greater, is now demanding a fellow servant to pay up $100 debt that he couldn't pay. And the scripture says he took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He asked the master here that he owed the $100 thereabout to, for the same thing that he had gotten from the king himself, and that was patience. To hold up, give me a little time, and I'll pay thee what thou owest. His fellow servants fell down at his feet, begging him. He just asked for a little patience. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. They came and told unto the Lord of the king all that was done. People watch us. They see what we do and how things happen, how we react to things in our lives. They had witnessed him getting mercy from the king by the king forgiving him $1 million debt. But when he went out to the one that just owed 100, what'd he do? Went berserk, didn't he? Years ago when I was driving Coke truck, I was in Holder Shell Station at McLean. And if anybody knew Sheldon Holder, he was a tough cookie. I mean, he was hard. And I was scared to death. Sometimes I'd bring merchandise in. I don't want that. Get it out of my store. Get it. And he just messing with me, mostly making me. He knew I was scared of him, you know. And things. So I was busy putting my drinks in the box and doing all the things that I was doing. Joy's gathering up all the empties outside and all. He hollered at me and said, "Hey, Herbert." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You see that guy coming across the road, another black man coming across the railroad track coming over?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "He owes me some money. If he don't pay me when he gets here, I'm going to kill him." I said, "Mr. Sheldon." He said, "I'm going to shoot him. I'm going to kill him." He said, "He's been supposed to pay me, and he won't pay me." He said, "I'm going to kill him." I went back to putting my drinks in the box and backing up, you know. And so the old gentleman came in, you know, and he said, "Fred, you got my money?" No, sir, Mr. Sheldon, today's just Thursday. We don't get paid a Friday. He said, "I have your money tomorrow." He said, "You either pay me or I'm going to shoot you." He said, "Well, Mr. Sheldon," he put that gun up on that case up where I had it. And I said, "Lord, have mercy. Look at him." You know. And the old black man started begging for mercy. Bow! He shot him. He fell. I said, "My goodness, I'll be in court from now on." I said, "He has killed this poor man right here in front of me, you know." Old Fred hit the floor, you know, and directly he got the flounce. He said, Michelle, ain't no blood. Ain't no blood." He shot him with a blank, you know, pulling the plank on him. Scared me, slammed to death. And I think of that when I think of some how. And I told him, I said, "Sheldon," I said, "you could have called that old gentleman to have a heart attack now." I said, "You'd like to call me to have one." I wasn't in my 30s then, or 20s and 30s, somewhere along there. And I thought, sure, he'd killed in graveyard dead. And I was a proud fella to see him get up off that floor. This same servant went out, found one of his, which owed him $100, laid hands on him, took him by the throat, and said, "Pay me that thou owest." Sheldon done that as a prank, but a lot of people does it as a way of life, you know. They are not patient. What if God had not been patient with you and I? Many of us may not realize it, but we owe the Lord a debt for the price that he's paid in giving us his son to die for our sins. How would Jesus react? You remember the crippled man, paraplegic, that they brought to church one Sunday morning when Jesus was preaching. The place was packed. The windows were filled with people standing outside looking in the windows and stuff. They brought this crippled man on a mat. They couldn't get through the doors. They couldn't get through the windows with this crippled man. So the men that brought him, they were determined that he was going to see Jesus, because they knew in their heart that if he could get to Jesus, Jesus would heal him. They'd done witnessed enough stuff that Jesus did. They went above and beyond because they climbed to the top of the house, tore a hole in the roof, and let that crippled man on his mat down in front of Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He healed him, didn't he? He said that his faith what made him whole. He told him to do what? Rise, take up your bed, and go home. Go home. All these people, that packed house, seen it. They watched it. They witnessed what took place there. Did Jesus forgive him whatever sins was part of his life? What took place? You remember the woman that was caught in the act of adultery? They brought her to Jesus. He said, we caught her in the very act. All these men here, they're witnesses and stuff. Said, now Moses tells us in the Old Testament scripture that she's to be stoned to death. What say you? Jesus didn't say anything. They pressed him. He finally looked up at that group and he said, ye that is without sin, cast the first stone. And he squatted back down and he began to scribble or write in the sand. And one by one, from the oldest gentleman there to the youngest, they fell away. Why? Got any idea what Jesus might have been writing in the sand down there? The sins of those men. Amen. You know? Sins of those men. A few minutes he looked up and there wasn't a soul left but him and the woman. And he asked her, said, where's your accusers? She said, I have none. He said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Live a sinless life. Do your thing, your heart and your life. Maybe don't remember Peter? He promised the Lord, I'll go with you even unto death. And the Lord told him what? Or the cock will crow, you'll deny me three times. And he did. The Lord had to go hunt him up and forgive him. Found him down there trying to fish and stuff. Didn't do it. But you know, my favorite of all of them was that thief that was on the cross beside Jesus. You know, the scripture says very plainly about him that he and the other thief, robber or murderer or whatever he was, Jesus is in the middle, they began to rail on Jesus, say, if thou art who you say you are. But Jesus did something up there that caused that one thief to look on Jesus and ask Jesus, you remember what he asked you? Remember me when thou enterest into thy paradise. What did the Lord tell you? Today thou shalt be with me. What did he say about all that Roman soldiers and all those people out there that was demanding, crucify him, crucify, release Barabbas, release? What did he ask the Father to do? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know what's going on here. They don't understand that I'm to go to this cross and die for their sins and stuff. But that old thief on the cross, from the time that he began to rail on Jesus when they were first nailed to that cross, to the going down of sun that evening just before Jesus is to die, something happened in that period of time that changed the heart of that thief. And he went from calling him names to calling him Master, Lord. Remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. Let's see what happens here in this. So if the young fella asked for patience, he said, I'll pay you all. But verse 30 said he would not. But he went and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. I've never quite understood how somebody in prison is going to make enough money to pay their debt, even if it's $100. We deal with that all the time in the court systems and in the county. You know, the judge will put them in jail. We got to feed them and water them and care of them and do for them and care them to the doctor, whatever they might need, you know. But they ain't got no money to pay their fine with. They ain't got no money to pay their whatever. He would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants heard what was done, they were very sorry. And they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that, he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. You asked me, you fell on your face and begged me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant? Didn't you ought to pass it on to that same individual, the mercy that you got, the grace? And his Lord was wroth, and he delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Those tormentors there were given the charge of seeing to them whatever if they were picking cotton, they picked the amount of cotton they supposed to. If they was busting rocks, they bust them out until they paid all that was due him. He was freed, forgiven, and yet when his fellow man arrived in the same set of shoes that he had, he treated him dishonestly. What do you think about the Lord? What he done for us? He paid a debt that you and I could never pay. A sin debt. When he went to that cross and he died for us. Verse 35 says, likewise, listen closely to this. Likewise shall my heavenly Father do so also unto you, if ye from your, what? Hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. True forgiveness has got to come from the heart. We can say we forgive, but if we don't forget, if opportunity ever comes along, we'll get even. All those sorts of things. What do you think God's going to say to us? We accept his forgiveness, that he's willing to forgive us of our sins by dying for us and being buried and rose again and waiting at the Father to come get us. We accept his. But somebody out here can do some kind of little pity-any thing to us, don't mount a hill of beans. And we'll carry that hard-heartedness to our graves and despise, reject, and refuse. And you know who that's just robbing? It's robbing you. It's robbing me when we hoard things like that in our hearts and our lives. The things that God would have us to do. Let's pray together. Perhaps this morning, God's been able through this little story, this little parable, to show you that when we are holding ill will toward our fellow man, it might be family, it might be a coworker, it might be a schoolmate, it might be a whoever, whatever, however. But it's caused a division. It's put a strain on your relationship and all the things that's happening around about you. Is it worth it? Or could you soften that old heart up enough to let a little bit of forgiveness come in? Penetrate that heart So just as God forgive you of your sins, you can forgive those individuals that might be there. Let God have his way in your heart and your life. Father, you search us and know us now. I pray, God, if there's anything hindering us, we'll be willing to give it up, forsake it, and put it away. It's not worth it because it's stealing from us the joy of our salvation. And we need to be in a right relationship with you in order to accomplish all that you would have us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, Brother Ernst.